Mary Lee Taylor program. Brought to you by Pet Milk, the first evaporated milk. Yes, welcome to the Mary Lee Taylor program featuring the story of the week about Jim and Sally Carter and the pet milk recipe of the week. You know, we've received so many requests for the pet milk recipe book called New Ideas for Everyday Meals that today is the last time we can offer it. So today, sure, write for your free copy. Just print your name and address and the word New Ideas on a postcard and send the card to Mary Lee Taylor, care of this station, or to Pet Milk, St. Louis, Zone 1, Missouri. And now it's Mary Lee on NBC.
Hello, this is Mary Lee Taylor. You get some idea about the newest development in Sally Carter's life from this remark that her friend and neighbor, Marcy Rarick, made.
Sally Carter, are you out of your mind? You know that girl is interested in your husband, and you deliberately throw the two of them together. I don't get it.
You'll be hearing the whole story in just a minute. But right now, the spotlight swings to the most beautiful cake you've ever seen. Mary Lee Taylor's marble cake.
It is beautiful and honestly easy to make because there's no beating of eggs, no creaming of sugar and shortening, none of the steps that used to make cake baking a chore.
Well, like I always say, use Mary Lee Taylor recipes and pet milk and you're sitting pretty. There's only one pet milk, and what milk it is. Thick and rich when you pour it from the handy can. So rich you can mix it with an equal amount of water and still have richer milk than bottled milk. So rich you can whip it. So rich it's perfect for coffee. Yes, pet milk is so rich it belongs in your cream pitcher. And pet milk costs less, generally, than any other form of milk. And costs a lot less than cream.
Remember, right after today's story, I'll tell you how to use pet milk in making a wonderful marble cake. And I'll also plan an easy-to-fix meal for you. But now, let's join Jim and Sally Carter in Capital City. It's 10 o'clock in the evening in the Carter's little apartment. Baby Betsy is sound asleep, and Sally is knitting peacefully in the living room. But in the brightly lighted kitchen, Jim Carter is with Nikki, the attractive young neighbor from upstairs. And from the kitchen, we hear the sounds of a typewriter.
Sally, will you get it?
Sure, Jim. You two go on with your work. Oh, hello, Marcy. Come on in. It's nice to see you.
Yep, Mary Sunshine. That's me. All I came in for is to ask if you'd accept the COD package for me in the morning.
Of course I will, Marcy. Be glad to. Why don't you come on in and sit down?
You don't mind if I do. Here's the money for the COD, Sal. $4.95 even. I wouldn't take advantage of your good nature, except I've got to go downtown extra early in the morning and, Say, what goes on in the back room?
Oh, that's just Nikki in there with Jim.
Now, isn't that sweet?
Uh-huh. She brought her typewriter down and wrote a couple of letters for Jim. Now they're working on a sales analysis or something.
How come?
Well, they're working in the kitchen because the light's good and the table's big.
What I said is, how come?
Oh, you mean how come Nikki is working for Jim? Well, it's just that Jim doesn't have a secretary of his own yet. He's sharing Mr. Atwood.
Yeah?
And he wants to get some work done in a hurry. Oh, you don't know about Jim's promotion, do you?
No. What happened? When?
That's just about does it, I think. I sure do thank you, Nikki. Hello in there.
Hello, Marcy.
Hi, you little busy bees.
Come on in here, Jim, and tell Marcy about your new job.
Oh, well, there's not much to tell. The company just split our territory. Business has been so good, and they made me sales manager of one half. The lesser half, of course.
It is not the lesser half. Or if it is, it's because the opportunity is greater.
Well, you don't say. Congratulations, Jim.
It's really quite a tribute to Jim's work. He hasn't been with the firm very long, you know.
Long enough.
It's wonderful. Just wonderful.
Huh? What goes on?
It's been a privilege to help Jim these past few nights. A real privilege.
Since when have you been such an eager beaver?
Oh, she's been a great help to me. And I wish you'd let me pay you, Nicky. I'd feel a lot better if you would.
You mean Nicky's working for free?
I wouldn't dream of taking any money for helping out a friend. Besides, the work is simply fascinating.
The air conditioning business is fascinating?
So different from the dull stuff in the dump where I work.
Well, we're finished for the night, kid. Hey, how about everybody going down to the drugstore for a soda? I'll go up and ask Mrs. Hogan to keep an ear open for Betsy the next 20 minutes.
Mrs. Hogan's asleep, Jim. I'll stick around till you get back. Go along, Sally.
Oh, no, I'll stay with you. You and Nicky go, Jim, and bring us back a couple of malts. How'll that be?
Swell. Come on. Chocolate?
Uh-huh, please.
We'll be right back.
Well, well, well.
Honestly, if I don't hurry with this sweater, Betsy'll outgrow it before I finish.
Sally, are you out of your mind?
I don't think so. Why?
Can't you see that Nicky's between boyfriends right now? Don't you get that line she's handing Jim? A privilege to help him. His work's so fascinating. Who's kidding who? All those figures fascinate.
She's being very helpful to Jim. And Nicky just can't resist playing up to any man that's handy. It doesn't mean a thing. You know Nicky.
You bet I know Nicky. I know her well enough, so I wouldn't send my husband out alone with her on such a pretty spring night. Sally, baby, that little redhead can cause plenty of trouble if you let her.
Sally laughed at Marcy, but several times in the next week she had occasion to wonder.
You know, Nicky's not as feather-brained as I've always thought. She's picked up a lot about the air conditioning business, and when you consider that she has a full-time job of her own. Well, Nicky has an idea for rearranging the office that ought to work out swell for me.
So Sally wasn't a bit surprised when, one bright afternoon, when she had the baby in her carriage on the front walk.
Hello, Sally. Hi there, you beautiful baby.
Well, hello, Marcy. Been downtown? Well, sit down here on the step. It's too nice to go in the house.
Okay. Say, Sally.
Yes?
Sally, you know I don't want to make any trouble for anybody.
Of course.
And I don't like gossip, but...
Uh-huh.
Well, the neighbors have been talking about Jim and Nicky being together so much.
But Nicky's been helping Jim.
I suppose. But just the same. Well, baby, downtown today, I was blowing myself to a high-priced lunch at Reed's. And who did I see having lunch together there, big as life, but...
Jim and Nicky. I know.
Oh, he told you.
Well, not exactly, but... I'm not surprised.
Listen, kid, fun's fun and very nice. But that little dame is up to no good. And as for Jim, well, I know you think he's perfect and can do no wrong. But what business has he got buying her expensive lunches at Reed's while you're home with a baby and eating a peanut butter sandwich for lunch like as not?
Oh, Marcy. I know you want to help me, but you needn't worry. Really, you needn't. Nicky won't take any money for all her work. Jim has to do something for her.
I don't like it. Aren't you even a little jealous?
Not a bit. I wouldn't be jealous. I think jealousy contradicts most of the good things about a marriage, like faith and confidence and companionship.
Maybe so, but I wish you'd give the matter a little thought. It isn't for the best, that's for sure.
Well, I really have given it a lot of thought. And Marcy... Do you know if Nicky's a good secretary?
A good secretary? Why, yes, I think she is. A friend of Andy's works where she does, and he says Nicky's darned efficient when she wants to be. Why?
Well, Jim hasn't hired anybody yet, and Nicky seems awfully interested in his work.
Sally, I know what you're going to say, and I can't stand it.
So why shouldn't it be Nicky? Goodness, she ought to get the job if she wants it, after all the work she's done for Jim.
Now I've heard everything. Sally, I don't see how anybody, as trusting as you are, can get along in this world. Providence must have a special eye just for you.
I don't know what you're talking about. And I think it's a very good idea. About Nicky, I mean. I'm going to suggest it to Jim this evening. So, don't you think you really ought to offer Nicky the job, Jim? Oh, if you think she can do it, of course.
Well, it's a wonderful idea, and you're a wonderful girl to suggest it. As a matter of fact, well, I thought of it myself. But the fellows in the office have kidded me so much about the cute redhead who has my interest so much at heart, and Marcy Rarick has been giving me such dirty looks that, well, I sort of wondered what you'd think about it.
Why, Jim Carter, you know I like me. And you ought to know I'm not a jealous wife. Well, I don't care how many pretty secretaries you have, or even how few.
Oh, you're swell, Sally. And one thing's sure, I'll never find a secretary as pretty as my wife. Well, Nicky will be a help, all right. She understands me.
Oh, that's fine. It's settled then?
Uh-huh. How about another piece of pie?
We'll return to our story in less than a minute. But first, let me remind you that they're going, going, and soon they'll be gone. I mean the Mary Lee Taylor recipe book called New Ideas for Everyday Meals. Yes, this 16-page book is such a big success, today is the very last time we can offer it. So don't wait. Get your request in right after today's program. Just write your name and address and the words New Ideas on a postcard and send the card to Mary Lee Taylor, care of the station to which you are listening, or to the address you'll be given a little later. And now, back to our story.
Before Marcy Rarick had a chance to catch up on the Jim-Sally-Nicky affair. But then one evening she dropped in on Sally.
Look, I've almost finished Betsy's sweater since the last time I saw you.
Your baby doll is going to look very snazzy when she gets that on, Sally. Me, I despise knitting.
Here, Jim. The mastermind of the air conditioning business is in the kitchen, behind closed doors. He has papers spread all over the table, and he's struggling with some figures.
Uh-huh. How is his new secretary working out? I hear Nicky did accept the job.
Oh, yes, she did, and I think it's working out fine.
Oh, you think it is, huh?
Sally, would you mind helping me check these figures? Oh, hello, Marcy.
Hi, Jim.
I'd love to, dear, but you know I'm not very good at figures. Why don't you call Nicky? Well, she's up in a room, I know.
Oh, no, if we call her, she'll stick around all evening, yakety-yakking. I just want to get this column checked in a hurry. All you have to do is read the figures to me.
All right, I can do that. But I sort of halfway asked Nicky down anyway. I hope you don't mind.
Okay, I guess. But golly, I see enough of Nicky at the office without you dragging her down here nights.
Well, what do you know?
Jim, Marcy's going up after her knitting.
I'm going to do what?
You're going up after your knitting, remember? And Jim, she'll stop by Nicky's room and tell her to come down. Won't you, Marcy?
Oh, sure, sure. I'll be right back with my knitting. Hey, Nicky.
Yeah?
Sally says to tell you to come on down.
What does she want?
I don't know. I think maybe Jim wants you to help him with some work for a few minutes.
Well, I should say not. It's after hours, definitely. Really, I prefer not.
Well, it seems to me I remember a time.
Yes, Marcy. Jim's a nice guy, but he's sure a fuss budget to work for. I get enough of it at the office.
Oh, okay.
Tell Sally some other time, maybe.
Oh, Jim. Nicky can't come, Sally. Goodness, what's so funny?
Oh, nothing. We were just being silly. We got the figures checked while you were upstairs.
I'd better gather up those papers in the kitchen. They're all over the place.
I'll be right back.
Sally, is Jim going to be out there a minute?
Yes, I think so. Why?
Well, things have certainly changed around here. Nikki preferred not to come down, and Jim didn't want her to. I guess there's nothing to that anymore.
There never was.
Through no fault of yours, you little dope. If ever I saw a wife encourage an interest in another woman, it was you. It looks like Providence did take care of you, though, like I said.
Maybe so, but I have to confess that I did know all along that Jim's a little hard to work for. Especially when he's all steamed up over something, like this new job.
Why, Sally Carter.
And Nikki. Well, Nikki's like a lot of other people. The higher the fence, the greener the grass seems to look on the other side.
In other words, you...
So, Marcy, I wasn't worried. I really wasn't. But people seemed to be talking a little, and I didn't think that was good for Jim or Nikki. So I just thought things over. Nikki wanted to change her job, and Jim needed a good secretary. So, no harm done, huh?
Definitely. No harm done. Sally, Providence can relax. You're perfectly able to take care of yourself.
Next week's story about Sally Carter presents another exciting problem, a new man in Nikki's life.
So better join us next week for sure. And come along now to the Pet Milk Kitchen and find out how to make a beautiful marble cake the Mary Lee Taylor way for just 22 cents.
Oh, Dale, before we get into the recipe, I do want to answer a question some of my listeners have been asking about the Pet Milk Baby Book. This book is absolutely free. You don't have to send a label or any money. Just write me, Mary Lee Taylor, care of this station, or to Pet Milk, St. Louis, Zone 1, Missouri, and tell me you'd like the baby book, and I'll get one off to you promptly.
Well, I don't blame listeners for wondering. That big 64-page book is a lot of book to be sending out just as a gift.
That's right. But now to get back to our recipe of the week for marble cake. I'm going to give you the recipe right now, then follow it with some important tips.
And I'll write it down right along with our listeners. Okay, let's go.
First, mix and let stand.
Mix and let stand. Mm-hmm.
1 1/2 teaspoons melted shortening.
1 1/2 teaspoons melted shortening. Okay.
1 1/2 tablespoons cocoa.
1 1/2 tablespoons cocoa. Yep.
And 1 1/2 tablespoons warm water.
1 1/2 tablespoons warm water. All right.
Then sift into a bowl 1 1/8 cups. 1/8 of a cup is 2 tablespoons. That's 1 1/8 cups of sifted cake flour.
Sift into bowl 1 1/8 cups sifted cake flour. Mm-hmm. What else?
3/4 cup sugar.
3/4 cup sugar. Okay.
1 1/4 teaspoons baking powder.
1 1/4 teaspoons baking powder. Yep.
And 1/2 teaspoon salt.
1/2 teaspoon salt. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Now, add 1/4 cup soft shortening.
Add 1/4 cup soft shortening. Okay, go ahead.
Next, mix 1/4 cup pet milk.
Mix 1/4 cup pet milk. With what?
With 1/4 cup water. and 1/2 teaspoon vanilla.
1/4 cup water. 1/2 teaspoon vanilla. Mm-hmm. Then what?
Add 2/3 of that mixture to the flour mixture.
Add 2/3 of milk mixture to flour mixture. All right?
Then beat 2 minutes.
Beat 2 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Add the rest of the milk mixture and 1 unbeaten egg.
Add rest of milk mixture and 1 unbeaten egg. Uh-huh.
Beat 2 minutes longer.
Beat 2 minutes longer. Okay, Mary Lee.
Pour about 2/3 of that batter into a greased loaf pan. I'll tell you later how big the pan should be.
All right. Pour 2/3 of batter into a greased loaf pan.
Now, remember the melted shortening, cocoa, and warm water we mixed first?
Yeah.
Well, stir into that cocoa mixture 1/8 teaspoon baking soda.
Stir into cocoa mixture 1/8 teaspoon baking soda. Okay, and don't forget we still have 1/3 of that light batter left.
Yes, and the next step is to beat the cocoa mixture into that light batter.
Oh, beat cocoa mixture into remaining light batter.
Then, spoon that over the batter in the loaf pan.
Spoon over batter in loaf pan. Okay.
And cut through batter in zigzag pattern. I'll explain that later, too.
Cut through batter in zigzag pattern. Okay.
Finally, bake in a moderately slow oven, 350 degrees, 50 minutes, or until cake shrinks from sides of pan.
Bake in moderately slow oven, 350 degrees, 50 minutes, or until cake shrinks from sides of pan. Mm-hmm. And that does it. And Mary Lee says that recipe is okay to use in any altitude up to 3,000 feet. Now, if you live in a higher altitude, ask Mary Lee for the specially adjusted recipe.
And be sure to state the altitude at which you live and the name of the recipe you want. And now some important tips. The size of the pan you use is so important, I suggest to measure it by counting the number of cups of water it will hold. If you don't have a loaf pan holding 6 cups, just be sure the pan you do use is deep enough so that you need only fill it half full.
Well, why is that important?
Because this cake batter rises a little more than the ordinary kind. And if it runs over, it will spoil the fine, velvety texture of the cake. Have all your ingredients for the marble cake ready before you start mixing, so everything is at room temperature. About 15 minutes before you start mixing, turn on the oven and set it at the proper temperature. Then, grease your loaf pan. And arrange your oven shelves so you can bake this cake slightly below the center of the oven.
And what about that zigzag business, Mary Lee?
Well, after you spoon the cocoa batter over the light batter in the pan, You take a table knife or spatula and cut down through the batter, almost but not quite to the bottom of the pan. Then move the knife from side to side to streak the cocoa batter through the light batter.
And that's what makes it a marble cake, huh?
That's it. And here are a few other tips. Be sure the shortening you use is vegetable shortening, like Crisco or Spry. Be sure, too, to measure your ingredients carefully and follow the recipe exactly. You'll just have to forget about other mixing methods and do exactly as this recipe directs. You can beat the batter with a spoon or with an electric beater at medium speed, but beat only for 2 minutes at a time. And scrape the bowl often during the mixing to get the batter that clings to the sides down into the center of the bowl.
And also be sure to use good double-rich Pep milk as the recipe directs.
And for a delicious frosting, try the recipe for chocolate fudge frosting that's in the book called New Ideas for Everyday Meals.
The way to get that book, if you don't have it, is to write Mary Lee Taylor, care of this station, or to Pep Milk, St. Louis, Zone 1, Missouri, and ask for New Ideas.
And do take Dale King's advice and use Pep Milk and no other kind when you make your marble cake, because the recipe is balanced to use double-rich Pep Milk.
Your grocer has Pep Milk, and your grocer also features, at least most good grocers do, Mary Lee Taylor recipe folders. So help yourself to one next time you do your family food buying.
And now, quickly, let me suggest the kind of meal you might want to serve on Sunday or when company comes. We'll start with glazed ham slices and milk gravy, with potatoes boiled in their jackets. Then for a vegetable, fresh green beans, and a special salad, like the club salad that's in the book we've just talked about. Bread and butter, of course, and for dessert,
marble cake and coffee, and what a meal that is. But no matter how good these Mary Lee Taylor ideas are, we've got to be leaving them soon. But there'll be more next week. In fact, next week's recipe is for my favorite meat. Next week's story is bound to be wonderful, too, so don't miss it. And now, today's recipe for happiness.
We never give, but in giving, get again. And now until next Saturday, this is Mary Lee Taylor saying goodbye and happy homemaking.
Goodbye, Mary Lee Taylor, and good luck and good health to all of you from Pep Milk. Listen tonight over most of these same NBC stations for the songs of Vic Damone featured on The Pep Milk Show with Kay Armand, The Serenaders, and Gus Henson, and the Pep Milk Orchestra. Today's story was written by Jane Spencer, directed by Al Chance. Del King speaking.